we'll be going to our second reading for this morning, our second reading, and that will be John chapter 10, John chapter 10, from verse 1 to 22. John chapter 10, from verse 1 to 22. Probably will be 21, but I wrote 22. let's get there. John chapter 10. This is the famous, I suppose it's famous, passage where Christ says, "I am the good shepherd." The I am statement, one of the I am statements that Christ made. John chapter 10. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that I know of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, and I take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed, but a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" That is the reading of God's word to us. Let's pray as we come to consider this word of God. You are the good shepherd. You have declared you are the good shepherd. And we're so thankful for that, that you care for us. You care for every aspect of our lives. We pray that as we come to the opening of your word today, that the entrance of your word will give light and give understanding to the simple. And that you will use me to speak clearly and rightly, not of myself, but your words. So people will see past me and see your words and see you speaking to them. We also pray that our hearts will be duly prepared to receive your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So this past few weeks in the month of August, we've taken a break from our Exodus series, and we've been looking at the sermons on the plain in Luke chapter 6. And today we're taking a break from that mini-series as well and looking at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, where we're considering knowing Jesus as a good shepherd, or knowing the good shepherd. We'll be looking at what Christ has said and the truth and the weight of that. John chapter 10. So this morning, I would like to ask you the first question. Who would you say is the closest person to you? The person you think about the most or knows you most? That person could be your parent, your sibling. It could even be a neighbor, a colleague. And for children going back to school, it might be your classmate that you spend loads of time with that you haven't seen all summer. Maybe your best friend. And for the married people, I hope the answer to that question is your spouse. Whatever the answer, though, the people we know most have over time revealed themselves to us. They've helped us to understand themselves better, and we've used this knowledge to affect and shape how we relate with them. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, "What we think about God is the most important thing about us. What we think about God is the most important thing about us." Which also means what we know about God is the most important knowledge we have. What we know about God is the most important knowledge we have. In John chapter 10, Jesus reveals important truths and facts about himself. He says this to his listeners. He declares, "I am the good shepherd. I am the door." It's not, "I may be a good shepherd." It's not, "I may be a good door." He says, "I am." And these are no wild claims of Jesus with no basis. They're actually eternal factual statements that have been shaping and are currently shaping eternity for us, because who Jesus is shapes eternity for us. The "I am" statements, there are seven of them in the book of John, point to the divinity or the divine nature of Christ, because God is the only one that uses the title "I am." So Jesus reveals himself to us straight away. He says, "I am God." But also in this text we've read today, Jesus exposes the character of those we need to be careful of. The thieves, the robbers, and strangers. Those who are dangerous to God's own sheep, to God's own people. So everything Jesus tells us about himself and about those we should be careful of must and does affect how we relate with him and how we worship him. The portion of scripture we read this morning, John chapter 10, starts with the phrase, "truly, truly," telling us it's a continuation of what's gone on in chapter 9. In chapter 9, we read of Christ miraculously healing a blind man on a Sabbath day. And the whole event leads to a confrontation with the Pharisees. So for Christ to describe the character of the Pharisees and himself to the people around him, Jesus uses imagery that they are used to. Maybe not us in Romford in 2022, but the image of shepherd and sheepfold was something a lot of people would have understood, the primary listeners or the first listeners. It's also an image that God has used in the past to demonstrate the relationship between him and his people. Or as Ezekiel chapter 34 that we read earlier in that first reading shows, the relationship between God's people and those who are supposed to guide them. In both cases, the sheep is a representation of God's people. And in the New Testament, in fact, it means the people who believe in Jesus. John chapter 10 uses a mix of both representations. From verse 1 to 6, there's a description of the relationship between God's people and those who are meant to lead them. And then from verse 11 to 19, Jesus displays the relationship he has as the shepherd with his sheep. A kind of reminder of Psalm 23. Jesus also tells his listeners that those that were in authority to lead God's people fell into two camps. So there was two camps they fell into. Those that were thieves and robbers, as verse 1 of John 10 tells us. And in verse 2, those that qualify as true shepherds. The difference being the way those people come into the sheepfold and their relationship with the sheep. True shepherds are those who come through the door through Christ, God's own standard. They know the sheep and are known by the sheep, while the thieves are those who try to go around God's law in getting to the sheep. And yet above these two camps, Jesus says he sits, he is the good shepherd. Jesus lays down the standard of what a shepherd of God's people must be, because he is the good shepherd. Jesus is that shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, promising eternal life to them. He's also the one who perfectly meets the requirements of Psalm 23. This morning, I want us to consider how knowing Jesus as the Good Shepherd must impact our life, since our knowledge of God is the most important knowledge for us to have. We'll look at this in two ways, in two points. The sacrificial shepherd of God's sheep. The sacrificial shepherd of God's sheep is the first point this morning. I would like us to consider the nature of Christ as our good shepherd under this first point. And for those that of us that know or don't know, sheep are extremely dependent animals. They need the constant protection and provision of their shepherds for survival. Because of that, bad shepherds can be dangerous. In fact, more dangerous to the sheep than wolves. Because instead of herding the flock together, bad shepherds cause the sheep to scatter. And they kill the sheep to fatten themselves and just make little of the sheep. Let's look at, again at Ezekiel chapter 34, and I'll read it through again, verse 1 to 6. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherd, thus says the Lord God. Shepherds of Israel, you have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search for them." The children of Israel, as we've seen from this book of Ezekiel, have had a long relationship with false shepherds, dangerous shepherds. In John 10, the Pharisees are the false shepherds Christ is addressing. They are so bad that it does not call them shepherds. In fact, in verse 8, Jesus says this, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers." And this is a scary truth, that if those are meant to lead the children of God in spiritual matters are thieves and robbers. False shepherds that do not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climb in by another way. They are dangerous. Verse 7 of John 10 also tells us that Jesus is the good shepherd, the standard ignored by false shepherds. In chapter 9, we read that the Pharisees ignored this standard, and we see what it looks like. It didn't look like blatant breaking of the law. We'll be able to tell quickly that's a wolf, won't we? Rather, it was in adding extra requirements to the law, increasing the burden on God's sheep. That's how the dangerous shepherds came in. True subtle attacks on the sheep, attacks that are more dangerous than those of wolves because of how hidden they are. The Pharisees excommunicated the man because he didn't follow their rules. They ignored the suffering the man had experienced. They belittled the blessing of Christ in healing the man, focusing only on their own desires. So what's the hope for the children of God if all shepherds are this bad? Well, against the backdrop of this gloomy picture of the thieves and robbers, Jesus declares what a true shepherd looks like. In doing so, he restores hope. A true shepherd cares for his sheep. He is committed to protecting and feeding his flock. He goes out of his way to gather in the scattered sheep. This shepherd goes through the door, knows his sheep, calls to his sheep by name, and leads them. Similar to the shepherd in Psalm 23. And this role of a good and true shepherd, no one had sufficiently fulfilled so far at the time Christ was speaking. In fact, it's a role God himself promised to fulfill later on in Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 to 16 says this, "For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. In John 10, Jesus confirms that he is the good shepherd of God's people. I am the good shepherd, he says in verse 11, fulfilling the promise of God. We may ask then that what does he mean that he is the good shepherd? How is he different from the other shepherds? First thing to notice is he's not just a better shepherd. He is the standard we need, the one we long for. He does everything for his flock in love. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He does not only meet the standard that is set in verse 2 to 4 of John chapter 10, but he also willingly lays down his life for his sheep. To him, no cost is too high in the shepherding and redeeming of his sheep. It delivers people like us from the captivity and influence of thieves and robbers. Not only does the good shepherd lay down his life, but he gives life to his sheep, and he gives it abundantly, as it says in verse 10. And he's not just a good shepherd for the now, but he's a good shepherd for eternity, bringing his sheep home with him to eternity, because he's not merely a human shepherd. This good shepherd of ours is the God-man. The Godhead is involved in the shepherding of God's people. Jesus calls out his own, not in leaving it, and he doesn't leave it to chance for his people to come to him. This good shepherd doesn't leave it to chance for us to come to him. And by the power of his Holy Spirit working in us, we're able to recognize his voice and respond to him. So this morning, I want to encourage you that if you're hearing God's voice, if you're hearing God's word and you can recognize his voice, you are his sheep. And if you cannot, I will seek and admonish you to pray, so that the Holy Spirit works in you and you become a sheep, able to recognize God's voice. Because this is how a good shepherd, motivated by love, goes far and wide to gather his sheep to himself, to bring in all the Father has given to him. Verse 16 of John 10 says this, "And I have other sheep that are not in this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd." So having called his own to himself, he leads his sheep from the front. He goes ahead to prepare the way, showing the path to follow. And this good shepherd never tired in shepherding his flock. Jesus, our good shepherd, is also the door to the sheepfold, assuring us of the security for all who are in his care. He shepherds us and defends us. He is our true shepherd. He is also the door that will not open to anything that will be a danger to a shepherd, to his sheep. What a great shepherd we have. So knowing all this truth about our sacrificial shepherd and how it must impact how we lead our lives, this brings us to the second point, that we, God's sheep, respond to his great gift. God's sheep respond to his great gift. Coming to the end of our reading today from verse 19 to 21, we read how the first hearers of this reacted to what Jesus revealed. Verse 19 says, "There was again a division among the Jews because of this word. Many of them said, 'He has a demon and he's insane. Why listen to him?' Others said, These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The fact is, the revelation of who Jesus is produces two types of responses. Those who saw the truth in the things he was saying, and those who thought he was insane and possessed by a demon. Knowing that what we think about God is the most important thing about us, it is sad that such great news and revelation can be seen by some as just mere crazy talk. And that's a reality we experience, isn't it? You tell someone you're a Christian, and you can sense almost immediately, if they're not a Christian, they're changing their attitude towards you, looking at you funny, thinking, well, what's wrong with them? Well, I want us to be encouraged, not to be disheartened. Jesus went through the same experience. And the fact is, the knowledge of Jesus we have will always cause division between us and the people of the world. So having heard the truth about Jesus today, like those first hearers, we too must respond. If you're one who recognizes Christ's voice, responsibility is laid upon us to act on this truth like his sheep. And what does that look like? It looks like rightfully thanking him for this great gift he's given to us, this shepherd he's given to us. And in humility, we do all he commands and requires from us. In the text today, we are told what Christ's sheep have done. And what is that? They know him. They know his voice. They follow him. They avoid dangerous strangers. They go through Christ to find pasture. They show that they are completely dependent on this good shepherd. This means that for us in this day, we are to be committed to knowing Jesus more. Because it's by knowing him more, we're able to be made sure of his voice when he calls out to us, when he instructs us. And we'll become like him more and more in doing so. Last week we were told that we become like those we follow. So we are to follow Christ, to become more like him. And we know more of Christ by reading his word that he has given to us. And it is there we also learn who he is. We learn his voice. We learn the things he will and will not expect from us. We remember the assurance he has given to us. That said, I don't want us to misunderstand this. The initial recognizing of Christ's voice is not the result of our actions. It's the exclusive work of the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, the responsibility is upon us to learn this voice better. And that is by reading his word more and more. And in addition to reading his word more, this great shepherd has provided us under shepherds. He's provided us elders and pastors who are to feed us and point us back to the great shepherd. They are to aid us in learning more of who Christ is. And as we learn more of him, we come to realize our need to depend on him more and more and appreciate the great provisions he's prepared for us. However, we must remember that these under shepherds that we have, they're not the standard. Christ is the standard. He's the only shepherd that will not disappoint us. So learning more of Christ and his voice is accompanied with us seeking to walk in the path he has walked. We follow his step. In 1 John 2:6, we are told this: those that love Christ ought to walk in the way that he has walked. To live life in this manner simply means to obey him, to follow his lead. And by following him, we become more like him. And we rejoice in his gift to us. I will say this, in all honesty, walking the path Christ has walked might not be the easiest, might not be the most convenient, but it is the surest way to know we are keeping on the path of righteousness. It's the surest and greatest provision we can have, walking the path Christ has walked. It's not something we can do in our strength, but thank God that the Good Shepherd is always helping and leading us in that path. So this morning I want to encourage us once more that should following that path be challenging to us, we want to remember that it is in following this path we get to the pastures that he has promised to us. We come to the still waters that he has provided. In Psalm 23 verse 1 to 3, we read this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. In walking the path of the Good Shepherd, we learn to shun and run away from the strangers and thieves who want to steal our attentions and do us harm. And as his sheep, we must learn not to entertain any invitation or suggestion of the enemy, because in doing so, we fall into dangerous things. It's the same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden, following the temptation or the suggestions of the evil ones. So friend, this morning, I will ask you, do you seek more of Christ to be more like the true shepherd? Or has the knowledge of Christ you gained over time made no difference to you, or how you relate to him or to his people? Consider the things that have been said. Because when all is said and done, we must live lives as those, and every aspect of our life, as those who have been impacted by the knowledge of God, by the knowledge of who Christ is. We must live life as people who are wholeheartedly dependent on Jesus for all our need. Because failing this, we face the danger of living life under the shadow of dangerous robbers and thieves. Thieves and robbers who aim to kill and destroy. They have no mercy, but our Good Shepherd has mercy. And this morning, if all these things I've been saying about Christ and sheep is strange language to you, and you do not know Christ, I will invite you to consider the dangerous situation you're in and tell you to run to this Great Shepherd who defends and keeps his sheep. So to us all, I would say, let's keep increasing in our knowledge of the Great Shepherd, and let's learn to follow his steps, going through the path he's walked this coming week and for our days to come. Amen.